Joni's the one who got all our little books for us. So thank you, Joni, for picking those up. What we wanted to do is with those books, you can write down class notes. One of the things we thought you might want to do, though, is make it either a prayer journal or a gratitude journal. In books that a lot of us have been reading lately, it brings to mind, you know, in the moment you can be very thankful about, wow, you know, God has blessed us with whatever. But also to look back. So if you're keeping some type of journal, whether it's prayers or gratitude, that you can look back and see where God really has answered your prayers multiple times, or, you know, things over the years that you've maybe forgotten about that you still should be grateful for. So just something for you to do, but use it however you wish. Let's see. Besides Marva and Lori and I, all the other elders' wives are going to be in here. So please feel free to utilize us. We've got some experience maybe in some areas that some other folks don't. But it's really, a lot about this is using your resources, if you will. And it's going to people you feel comfortable talking to and helping you through some things. Because we all are going to need that, right, at some point in our lives or other. This is going to be a little bit different in that some classes will be a single session, one-shot lesson, like today. I'm going to speak on the heart today, and that's going to be one lesson. Some lessons may take more than that, so there are going to be a couple. So just know, we'll let you know the class beforehand, what the next class is going to be about. So that's kind of helpful to get your mind prepared for the next time. Like I said, whether you ever become the wife of an elder or not, we've really prepared these classes to help you in your everyday life, to help you serve God in whatever realm that is, whether as a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a friend, a worker, whatever it is, and we all play different roles in our lives, that's what these lessons are helped to do. Okay, the one thing about this is the class is only going to be as good as you all make it. If Marvin and I and Lori just stand up here and chat, people are going to go, okay, that was good. It's the Bible and it's good and we're teaching, but we need your input as well. We need your what you have studied maybe, or things that you've gone through that can maybe help someone else. So good questions, good comments is what we're looking for. Don't be afraid to speak up. I promise nobody's going to bite in here. Nobody's going to think differently. So we've all battled different things in our lives, and we'll all continue to battle things. Don't think that those of us who maybe have a few more years on us, when I get there, no, it's still hard. You know, we have an adversary, the devil, that's out there every day, and trying to, trip us up and have us fall and testing us. So please know that we're all struggling at times. But what we do know is that God's there for us. The Bible has the answers for us. And it tells us to talk with others also to help us as we struggle through life. A lot of experience and wisdom in this room is what I'm seeing, which is kind of the one nice thing about being up here. It's a little awkward, believe me. I'm used to being kind of down there. So please use that to help in your walk with God. So the one thing I'm going to do, if you're an elder's wife, if you'll just stand up for a minute, because then I'll not forget anybody, all right? Then I'll introduce you. So, Marva West, Audrey Kersey, Lori Karenick, Sharon Gibson, Stacey Rogers, and Jan Harrington. Jan's out sick today. See, I told you if they weren't standing up, it's all nerve-wracking. So just for those of you maybe who are new to the congregation or don't know who we are, and I'm Melinda Miller, by the way. Sorry, should have said my name. So utilize us, ask us, talk to us. We're always happy, to talk with anyone. So, before I actually though get started with my lesson, I'm going to ask Marva to pray for us, if you'll bow your heads.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your word that reveals your will. As we begin ladies' Bible study, we pray for your wisdom, that you'll bless the efforts that we are striving to show these women, and that you'll bless the hearts that they will receive your word. Please be with Melinda as she directs our thoughts. Be with each lady who is teaching this series, and be with the men as they begin their study on eldership, as well as all of our Bible class teachers and students, so that we may all be uplifted in your word. I pray all that we do will glorify and honor you, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, so today we're going to start out by talking about the heart. So God tells us that that's the greatest commandment and that it begins in our heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and that's Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus is actually, when that's quoted in Matthew, Jesus is actually quoting from Deuteronomy 6:5 when Moses was giving the law to the children of Israel. So that says to me, regardless of who we are or what will be in the future, where we are in the timeline of eternity, right? We need to constantly look at our hearts and our lives to see if we're giving God our all. So if you would, let's turn to Deuteronomy 4:29-31. Deuteronomy. Yep, sure. Thank you. Deuteronomy, let me find it, 4:29-31. And don't hesitate to raise your hand, have me stop. I'm good with that. 29. All right, so that there, Moses tells the Israelites that you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. If you search after him, with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your gatherers that he swore to them. So God loves us and wants us to be in a relationship with him, right? Deuteronomy tells us he won't ever leave us. Wow, what a comfort, right? To just know, unless we move ourselves away from God, God is always there for us. We need to remember that. God's going to give us those things to help us in staying close to him. But we need to remember that the passage tells us that we have to seek God, right? God's always there. But God's not going to force himself on us. We have to seek him ourselves with all our heart and soul. And then he tells us, you'll find me. God wants us to find him. So he's going to make that easy for us, but we do have to seek. We'll all go through trials in our life, but staying close to God and continuing to seek him can help us through those trials, really regardless of how difficult those trials may be. It helps to know that with God, we're never alone. So what I want from you is think of a time when you really believed that God was with you, right? When maybe others had left you, it was a really difficult time, but you really believed that God was with you. What would that look like? It could be sometimes in the moment, it's not always evident. Sometimes it's as you're looking back on things that you realize that. Does anybody have anything? Yeah.
Mom and Dad decided to come live with me. I had to pray about it.
Yeah.
Because it was a big life change for all involved.
Absolutely.
And it gave me guidance and reassurance that he was guiding me and helping me.
Ah, excellent. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
When my children left, it was, you know, just like everything pulled out of you. But the one solace I had was God, and continues to be him, because, you know, they have different perspectives and loves and things like that. And it's still, you know, as a mom, that hurt is still there, but
sure.
God continues to bless me and keep me grounded.
That's right. That's right. And just knowing that we're going to change through the years, our circumstances are going to change. You know, if you have children, that children then eventually do leave home. And so, yeah, it's there's lots of changes. Yeah, Bree.
I think for me, like, it's just when I'm in a situation, especially like
Right.
And a normal person would be angry and frustrated, and although I do get like that, the majority of the time I can be at peace with it.
Excellent. Well, and I'm really like what Jackie was saying about, you know, studying and reading and praying about it and searching. God keeps telling us to seek. So we need to be sure we're doing that. Yes, ma'am.
I think what helps me, not any specific situation that I'm going to use reference, but it's all the situations where I've seen, where I've prayed to God for guidance. And you see the results when he's answered those prayers.
Absolutely.
When you can dwell on those. Those will uplift you as well when you're down in the pit, to know that he is there for you and he answers those prayers for you. That uplifts your heart.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's one thing we hope with maybe keeping a prayer journal, is that you're able to reflect back on that and see those times. When God has been there, God is always there for us. It's just, are we reaching out? Are we seeking him? Yeah.
And to go with what Marva said, sometimes we can look back and might flippantly say, oh, thank goodness I didn't get that job, or I'm so glad our house didn't sell, or I'm glad my child didn't actually make that sports team. But if you think about that with what Marva said, that was the Lord was with you then, and that maybe the answer to that prayer was like, no, that's not the right thing for you. And I find a lot of comfort in looking back and realizing that even when we feel like things are going awry, that the Lord is still with us. And in the future, we can very well look back on that and say, thankfully, the Lord knew what was best for me.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. If you've ever had, like you said, the job you didn't get, and you got another job, and then later if you think back and go, wow, if I'd gotten this, I would have never had the blessings that came with this job or with this move or whatever that is. That's absolutely. I've absolutely seen that in my own life. I had a downgrade several years ago from my job, where it was, they came to me and said, well, you can leave the company and take a package, or you can do this other job that's a non-management job. And so I went, well, okay, I'll stay and do this. And there was a lot of hardship with that, but it was, I look back about that now, and the experiences I gained by going back and doing something that was not a management position really then helped me in so many ways. And the biggest thing is relying upon God. Right? Who else did I have to rely upon but God? No, family. But God was there. I knew God would always be there. All right. All right. So the next thing is in Matthew 5 with the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus turns commands of God back to the heart. Don't murder becomes don't be angry. Don't insult your brother. Let's look at Matthew 5. 21 through 26. I'd love if there's people who just so enjoy reading out loud. I would love that. We got anybody wants to help me out here? Matthew 5:21-26. Thank you, Kathy.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny.
So again, it's about the heart, right? It's not just our actions, but our actions are going to stem from what's in our heart. So we need to have our heart to be right. There's even caution about acting religious while continuing to exercise anger in that, in verses 23 through 25. Commit adultery becomes don't lust. That's in verses 27 through 30. Did I see your hand earlier, ma'am? Would you read that for me?
Okay.
Verse 27 through 30.
Commit adultery with her already in your heart.
Right.
And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell.
So again, really hitting home to us, I think, about all those physical acts begin in the heart. If that's where you've started, right, then those actions can follow. Love your neighbor becomes love your enemies. Let's look at verses 43 through 48. Everybody? Yeah. Nobody? Yeah. All right, so I love all of these examples that it gives us, is that it all begins in the heart for us. Chapter 7 continues to help us by telling us to ask, seek, and knock. So let's move over to chapter 7. And I need someone, if they would, to read 7 and 8. Good. Thanks, Dina. Yeah. Wow, what comfort, right? I'm not here doing this, trying to do this all on my own. God is there. If I'm having trouble, I need to ask, seek, and knock, depending on what it is, right? So think about that, and that God wants to bless us. God wants to help us to understand. He wants to give us good things. So remember that. He knows what we need, even before we ask it. Yeah, absolutely.
Along life thinking that we have a relationship with Christ because we're sitting in a pew or because of our family or because of whatever. But we all have free will, right? We all have free will. And it does take something on our part. God's not out there pulling us, saying, hey, come follow me, come follow me. He wants, you know, once we are
right.
His, and you know, he's not going to let us go. But we have to ask. We actually have to do something. And it's the ask, the seek, the knock. It's, you know, we've got to go to him. He's always going to be with us, but we need to actually, you know, do something.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not a passive relationship. It's an interactive relationship with God. So we need to always remember that. I love that, Joni. That's very good. So let's look at, go down a little bit further to verses 13 and 14 on chapter 7. And anybody there read that? Yeah, great.
Okay. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Thank you. Excellent. So I wanted to go ahead and add that because God does give us parameters to help keep us safe, right, to keep us on the right path. I always say to people that if you need a fence, like I right now manage people in a group, if you need a fence, I'll give you a fence, right? If you need something that keeps you from going too far, you let me know. God does that for us. And so we need to utilize those things. So just like sheep have fences in the pasture, that's exactly why the fences are there, to keep them in where they need to be. We're just like sheep. whether we really want to acknowledge that or not. A lot of times we're just like sheep, and we really need those fences. And God gives us those so we'll stay and not jump over them. What are some fences that you think help us in staying in the pasture with Jesus? Yeah, Marva.
Being in his word, like Joni said, seeking him. You know, being in his word, having a prayer life with him. You know, some of my worst moments was when I didn't have a prayer life with him, when I wasn't doing my daily Bible reading. And it's not just reading, not just listening to it. You know, you got to take it in. You got to think about it. You got to, like Mark talks about with his daily Bible reading schedule. You know, you got to be in the word, not just.
Right.
I mean, that's not to say just listening to it isn't good, but to grow and to build your heart and your relationship with him.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yeah.
Surrounding ourselves by people that are grounded in the word that can give us the advice that comes from here and not from some other perspective.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm
sorry. So, here and then the back. And I'm really bad. When I get nervous, I forget names. So if I'm pointing to you, Marva, I know, because Marva and I have been talking a lot lately, but go ahead.
I was just going to say that Jesus gave us the example of using scripture when he was tempted by the devil. And I think that we have to be mindful of that all the time because, you know, sometimes when you are tempted, you can just say, I really don't know what you want me to do here, because some things aren't clear. It's not all black and white.
Right.
As to what's right and what's wrong. But you have to make a decision. So you've got to hope you have some knowledge and guidance, knowledge of the word, that can lead you in the right direction.
That's right. That's right.
And to add, I know somebody else, but to add on to Cindy's, it goes along with what I was saying, to have that knowledge and to know where to get that guidance, you have to be in the word.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not
going to
find it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, accepting my limitations.
Oh, very good.
I don't know all the answers. I don't know why things happen the way they happen. And I don't have control over it. So sometimes you just have to let go and trust that he's there. And there's nothing else you can physically do.
Right. No, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's absolutely true. There are just sometimes where it's, Lord, I'm giving this all to you because I can't handle this and I'm not even sure what needs to happen. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's good. Yeah, Stacy.
Sometimes we look at offense as a negative, but one of the offenses are the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're ever in doubt of how to treat someone or treat a situation, how you should look at a situation, just reading that is offense that you say, I can go this far and I don't need to get the anger involved in it.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
I feel like everyone's fence is different as well. Like, some people might need a stronger fence or a taller fence, and others might not. So, like, you don't need to always, like, compare yourself to others, because you're not always going to have the same fence.
That's perfect. Absolutely. Absolutely. What I struggle with may be something you don't struggle with at all. So I think that's a great point. That's a great point. Okay. So if our heart is truly following God, it should make us want to serve him. So let's turn to Luke 1, and we're going to read 26 through 38, if somebody would like to do that, or I'm happy to do that, because it's kind of a long reading. Oops. Luke 1, 26 through 38. And I tell my husband all the time, repeat that scripture. Slow down. Wait for people to get there.
Mark's list.
Gosh, three times.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this must be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and and his kingdom will there be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold your relationship. Was I supposed to keep reading? Behold your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Wow. Right? So when Marvin and I, we've gotten together several times and talking about this, she had suggested Mary. And so I really started thinking more about that. Mary's very young here, right? And we heard that in Bible classes for a long time. But from what we know, she's probably still a teenager. But God sends an angel to her telling her she's favored with God and she's been chosen to bear the Messiah. That Jesus then will become the Messiah. So think about that. Mary already has a heart that she's developed for God at a very young age. So I'm looking at some people over here. So don't think that just because you're young that you can't do great things in the kingdom. But you have to be ready, right? Mary made herself ready. Because if she wasn't, the angel Michael's going to somebody else, right? That also, right, though, is some really heavy news. That's something that would be difficult for her to even consider about. But she's got questions, right? She asks some questions, but when the angel tells her that nothing is impossible with God, Mary offers herself up as a servant. She accepts that great responsibility. I really found as I was looking at this that it was interesting to note that before the angel tells Mary nothing's impossible with God, he tells her about her cousin Elizabeth. Right? She would have known that Elizabeth was barren, that Elizabeth, you know, had never had children. And so I think, you know, the angel gives her this example to say, God's already worked a great miracle with your cousin. God can do this miracle in you. I think that's really a great lesson to us about serving at any stage of our life. We really don't know how old Elizabeth is. We just know she's past the point of when it was believed she could bear a child on her own. Really from a very young age through really all the years we're here, if we keep our heart close to God, we can be his servant our entire life. He can use us. So think about that as you're thinking in whatever stage of life that you're in, what you can do. What sometimes presents itself that you go, oh, wow, I can serve. I can do this. My thought is if you have a question for Mary or Elizabeth, what would you ask them? What's something that would be interesting? I would think, wow, how did, you know? I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts about? I just thought it was really interesting. Here's these two women. An angel has come to both of these women. They're both now carrying children. The other thing is Mary goes to stay with Elizabeth. So this isn't an easy thing, but she has help. Yeah.
I think usually when people were presented, when angels were in front of them, they were scared, right?
Sure, sure.
And it really doesn't say that here, that Mary was in fear. So for her being so young, not only getting this message, but having this presence in front of her, what would we do? I mean, I'd probably turn tail and run.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? So
right.
I just give her so much credit for being so young, so brave, and so willing to do that. Because men would cower.
Yeah.
In front of angels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So think about that the next time maybe you're presented with something. You know, we're not having angels come to us and tell us this is from God, but maybe God's put something in your path to help you, to help somebody else. And so gives you an opportunity to serve. We're always going to have hard choices that we're going to have to make. Mary's choice was pretty hard. I think it was hard. Mary evidently, once the angel told her with God all things are possible, she said, okay, let's do this. I'm ready. Let's go. But I'm sure along the way she had lots of challenges. People talked about her. Here's a woman that's pregnant now, and she's not, she doesn't have a husband. Yeah.
I love that the angel gave her the information about Elizabeth just to give her someone to go to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's someone that she immediately was able to go to and talk about her experience with, and they had that bond together, and they could share in both of what they were both going through.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think you're right. So think about that. If God gave Mary Elizabeth, who has God given to you? Right? Have you found that person? Yeah.
You know, most of us have had children already, so I think that's something we can relate to, that when you're pregnant and you find someone else is pregnant,
yeah,
sisters in Christ and build those relationships, because it's true. You may not always have that one person in your family, but you know you can at least have a sister in Christ that you can go to and build that relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Proverbs 24:6 says, "For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there's victory." Titus 2:3 tells us older women likewise are to be, I don't have my glasses, reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So remember that. I love what you said though, Hilda. There's always a sister in Christ.
I've always been curious about Mary's mom or grandmother.
Ah.
Because Mary doesn't question when an angel comes, she seems to recognize and he says, you know, God sent me, or you're the favored one of God. And she doesn't say who's God.
That's right.
And so I've always wondered just how much influence women in her life had to teach her about God, so that she recognized when the angel came.
Wow, that's a really great point. Absolutely, because if she hadn't had the right heart, if she didn't even know about God, the angel's not even, God's not even going to choose her. Oh, that's great. Good stuff. In Titus, it talks about the older women. And so I used to think, you know, when I was in my 20s or 30s, that was all those people way down the road, right? But older doesn't necessarily mean over a certain age. That means you could be in your 20s and be an older woman to a teenage girl, right? It could also mean that I go to someone older than me for guidance, even though I'm considered an older woman. I am an older woman. I'm not even considered. I am. I'll hold that up. I'll take that. But remember, ladies, we're trying to please God and go to heaven. So working on our hearts and searching out wise guidance should never end for us, regardless of where we're at. We're just about to the end here, so let me just finish up. Our hearts should lead us to serve God. Sometimes there are things we don't want to do, and we make excuses, right, for not doing those things. Raise my hand. I'm really guilty of that. Instead of just saying, I don't want to do something, I really need to first look at why I don't want to do that. If I'm honest with myself and I find that the answer is my heart isn't right, I'm really just pushing something off, then I need to work on my heart first. Once my heart is right, I'll want to serve God in whatever capacity he has for me. I'll be Mary and say, "Ooh, with God all things are possible," right? I can do that. Anything else you guys want to add? I have one little closing thing I want to say, but anything you guys want to add to the class? Because we, 10:30? Is that what I have?
Yeah.
Thank you, good. Okay. Anybody else?
I really love Proverbs 4:23. I always go to Proverbs before I go anywhere else. It's just my favorite book in the Bible. But keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life.
That's right.
So,
absolutely.
Good reminder to always stay focused on where your heart is.
Yep. So lastly, on Wednesday, Marva's going to lead us in a study on wisdom. So we thought that really went right along. We start with our heart. We're going to talk about that basic, and then wisdom and how to gain it. And so we think that's really going to be a great topic. So on Wednesday, be ready to talk about wisdom. Be ready to share some things you might have. Bring your books if you want to bring them. Or if you don't, you want to leave them at home and get that prayer journal and that gratitude journal started, you can do that. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in our coming lessons. So, all right. Thanks, ladies. Don't run in the halls. You're dismissed.